Oh, and he's brought down to the 18 with a devastating hit.
Boy, he thought he had the yards, but he just didn't have them.
That's right, Rick. Well, it'll be Dallas ball when we come back. Let's take a Tommy Sausage timeout. Tommy Sausage, it's the links that make you think, that's a good sausage. We'll be right back.
Boy, that was a hell of a drive, wasn't it?
Oh, did somebody say something? Heard something, but I don't see anyone next to me.
Come on, really? Are you still going
to
be this way?
I used to have a broadcast partner before he stole from me.
We got a hell of a game going on, and you're worried about the goddamn pizza that I took?
You took my last slice.
Yeah, okay. I thought you had all the pizza you needed, if you know what I mean.
Do you just assume things and go ahead and steal them? Is that your move?
Yeah, I do.
Maybe one day you'll assume I'm done with my wife and you'll steal her from me. Is that what you're going to do, Rick?
Well, Pamela looks like she's still got some more miles left.
Don't like having teeth in your mouth, do you, Rick?
No, but I do like fighting off wiry old man arms.
Well, these wiry old man arms are going to be around your throat in 2 seconds.
Well, bring it on, old man.
Guys, we're back in 3.
Oh, Rick, I'll dance on your bones. And we're back, Dallas on 7. Heck of a game, Rick.
This has been a real slobber knocker.
Oh, my God, make sure you stay tuned later tonight because coming on the air is the Mascot Wedding Show.
Yeah, now that's a group that knows how to get along together.
Oh my gosh, they're like a get along gang, you fucking idiot.
Yeah, are you kidding me with this?
I'm gonna murder you,
bitch. I will stab you in the dick.
Oh, you like that? Taste it.
I do like it. What are you gonna do, queen? This is the Mascot Wedding Show, the internet's hour of unspeakable power. My name is David Hotta.
My name is Mac Blake. We are your podcast lions. Meow.
Oh. Gah.
Machine gun sound. This is episode 277, a window to
my penis hole.
Oh, looking right in your dick.
Yep.
Starting out hot.
Yeah, I don't want to be vulgar and show them my penis, but I do want to let them know my inner workings. So I'll just pull open the... Oh, forget it.
Inner workings. Gross.
Already off to a great start.
We're recording from the Hodgecast studios, the Hodge Pound.
Hodge Pound.
Here in Austin, Texas. Yes, David Hotta, how are you?
I'm just going to come out with it. I'm exhausted. And the only reason I'm even mentioning it is because I felt like my intro was exhausting, or like it sounded tired. So I'm just gonna put the cards on the table.
Intro was fine, dude.
Okay, because I felt like as soon as I was like, "Hey, everybody!" like it was very chillax.
Guys, we have a very special in studio guest today. Originally from Nebraska, he moved to Austin. How long ago?
About 4 years ago.
4 years ago, he quickly became one of my favorite comedians, not just in town but ever. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Cody Husdick.
Hey.
Thank you.
How you doing, dude?
If I said fantastic, would I be lying? Yes. Moon Tower, everyone knows, just wrapped up, and it was the best 4 days of my life. And now it's back to getting refills for people. It's
That's right. The Moon Tower, this will probably come out next week, so, but... The Moon Tower Comedy and Oddity Festival, which do they still call it that?
They do, okay. But we haven't established what the oddity is yet.
Well, there's that Puddles guy.
Puddles,
more on him
it.
Later. that just wrapped up. And Cody, you had a bunch of shows. Now, you said the festival went well?
Yeah, it was a blast.
Why was it? Why?
I don't know. I guess I feel like for a couple of years there, I didn't really get a lot of opportunities. But just getting to be one of the dudes, that's always nice.
Is there something different about... the feeling, because I agree, I mean, Moon Tower is an awesome time, but is there a different feeling that you get from Moon Tower than you get from like South by Southwest or something?
Not necessarily, just being able to take a week off your job and just do comedy and hang out with comics. You feel like you're actually doing it, like you're not relying on your day job, mm-hmm. So you can just kind of forget about the shittiness and the depressing part of it for a good week and act like you're actually doing it.
Yeah, it is nice that there's just a giant comedy festival in your hometown. You don't have to like leave or buy a plane ticket or get a hotel room you can't afford. You could just walk outside your door. I didn't manage to get off work. That since wasn't the best, but you got what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So I still was doing the shows at night, but then during the day I was working, and I really tried hard not to do that this year, and I fucking did it again, and it sucks.
I regret it. I wish I would have worked during the day, because now fucking rent's due in 3 days. And
oh, okay.
How do I do that?
That cold splash of water.
Oh, this podcast pays. Do you not know that?
Are you serious?
Oh, no.
No.
Get your goddamn mind.
We have a sponsor. What show, did you do any shows that were like, oh, man, that show was so much fun?
I would say Saturday was pretty amazing. Like, I guess Austin has an amazing scene. My first show was the Austin Towers, which is primarily Austin Comics. And I guess I don't know, with so many great out-of-town acts, I had low expectations for the turnout. But it was packed, and people were high energy and enthusiastic. And then the Blue Show later on was just kind of a clusterfuck. But it was a beautiful night. I'll never forget. Probably will never forget that night.
Yeah,
you for know, various reasons.
Both. Do you want to get into that?
I don't know if I should. I don't know. It's probably not wise to say names and shit on people. But
that's right. I think that show was hosted by a person who's been by a radioactive leather briefcase.
Uh-huh.
And, yeah. He's kind of a jerk. Both Austin shows I did, I was also expecting no one to show up to. But both were packed, which is a cool feeling.
Even like the first night, there was like an Austin Towers of Parrish Underground. Kat Ramczynski, Michael Priest, John Ramsey, and it was,
was
easily sold out. And yeah, that's right. Yeah, and having a Parrish show right above it with some of the biggest names in comedy, like that says a lot.
Did you see anybody at the festival that you weren't too familiar with that you're like, I like that guy or girl?
Nah, I guess I knew everybody. I don't know. For the most part, I don't know. I don't like watching comedy, but the people I expected to like, I loved. Brent Weinbach, Andy Kindler, Stephen Brody Stevens.
Now, did you just say you don't like watching comedy a lot?
No, I hate it.
Oh, really?
It makes me. It just makes me super tense and anxiety ridden because it just puts me in my head and I think about what I would have done, like shit that I'm doing. Like I can't focus on it. Like it just.
Is this something? Is this the way you've always felt about watching comedy, or is this a recent development?
Oh, yeah. Even, like, when I was back in Nebraska, like, I got shit for never hanging out at the club there. Like, given, like, Cap City's way to, like, I don't hang out at Cap City enough, but Cap City's got great acts. Like, the Funny Bone in Omaha, like, a lot of magicians and hypnotists, and, like, I had a good reason
great
for not
stuff.
Going to that.
Yeah,
but,
awesome.
Sassy puppets.
Yeah.
That sounds amazing. Let's go there right now.
I don't know. It just, I get worked up.
That's surprising because you seem like someone who totally knows what they're doing in terms of, not knows what they're doing in terms of like craft, like, oh, the guy knows how to hold a microphone or talk to an audience member, but you definitely have a certain style. And I feel like you enforce your will on the audience.
You have a very comfortable stage presence. I guess that's what I would say. I don't often see you, I don't think I've ever seen you rattled. Or anything like that. Like you're just very.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I feel like I'm good at playing that off. Like I think everyone gets rattled and they can hide it somewhat. I think maybe me especially so, or so I've heard. Like I get rattled. I guess maybe I'm just good at like I'll go into a 2-minute pause and just stare at the audience.
That's
and people
what I mean.
Just think like they don't know if I'm doing it because I'm upset with someone in particular in the audience, or because I'm rattled, or because I. Just don't give a fuck, or I don't know what my next joke is. Either way, it's nice because I get to play it off as that guy's fucking great.
Well, you
so
did
there
it.
Goes the veil.
Yeah, you fooled me. No, but I do like those moments when you sort of like, if something doesn't go well for a minute, you can just turn into it instead of like turning away and like going a different direction. Just sit there and let that sit. And let those just everyone cooking it for a second.
Yeah,
and I don't know. That's just so funny.
Yeah, though that way to handle it is always so much like more exciting to me than just someone who kind of calls it out. Like, oh boy, this isn't going well. Like,
yeah, it's amazing how the exact opposite of jumping on a heckler or whoever's causing a distraction in the room, you can just shut the fuck up and stare at them and kind of regain control some of the time.
Yeah.
Silence is something that people have to listen to, which is weird. Whoa,
whoa, what?
Get real high. So, man, you are from Nebraska originally, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You moved here with the Count Dog, Ryan County.
Yeah, me and Ryan and another dude named Stefan Ahrensdorf, who we all kind of started around the same time in Nebraska. Tell you the truth, I thought Ryan was a horrible, hacky piece of shit, and I didn't want really anything to do with him when I first met him. He was hanging out with a dude that had a logo for himself before he had 5 minutes.
All right.
So right off the bat, I was like, I'm going to avoid this guy. And he's one of my best friends in the world. Mm-hmm. We've been roommates for years. And
so how did that, I mean, I don't know if you're serious or kidding, but like, how did that develop, like the relationship between you and County?
It just took time. Like, I guess everything kind of, we were all like, literally when we met, we were all like within our first month. So the dude with the logo got weeded out after he was pulling out a briefcase full of yo-yos and doing yoga tricks. And
smoked too much weed?
fuck, I don't even think so. I think he just had poor judgment on his own.
Yeah.
Didn't Stefan Ehrensdorf go to jail?
Wasn't he in
Busted Magazine?
I don't know. He was always a crazy dude, but awesome. Really, really funny. He just... he had a hard time, I guess, kind of transitioning into the Austin scene, but mm-hmm. he's a really funny dude. Yeah, and then I think he had some later troubles, from what I hear. I haven't actually talked to him in a while, but...
That's my dream, by the way, to open up that Busted Magazine, that newspaper magazine? Small newspaper at convenience stores full of mugshots, like see a friend of mine.
Oh, that's... I have the opposite feeling. I don't want to see that.
Why?
Because I know, like, at best... Like, they had a bad night, you know, but that bad night is captured forever.
Whoa, you are the world's most empathetic man. You can't enjoy that a little bit? Like, Cody, I love you, but if I saw you in Busted Magazine, I'd be like, oh, shit! Like, I'd have like a little...
It also depends on what it's for. I mean,
I've been in jail, kind of, like, a holding cell.
Just for
stupid party stuff, not paying a party ticket, and then we were leaving an open mic in Lincoln, Nebraska. Mm-hmm. And the dude that was driving, he was like a middle-aged black dude with dreads, and he's got like three like 20-year-old kids in the car with him. So it looked weird to the cops. And then they ran his info, and his like registration was expired by an hour, so they start checking all our IDs, and I had like a warrant.
Wait, his registration was expired by an hour?
An hour. So that was his excuse to check all of our IDs, and I had a warrant out in Lincoln because I used to live there for a party that like got busted by the cops that I never paid.
Yeah.
And... So I went to jail for the night.
Wait, so when cops bust up a party, someone gets a ticket?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Lincoln, Lincoln, Nebraska, I've heard, is like the highest cops per capita. It's ridiculous because it's such a college town.
Yeah, it's a party ghost town. Yeah.
It's a ghost town when school's not in session. So to keep the residents happy, there's an insane amount of cops.
Did you get a – or did you get – did they take a mugshot of you?
I'm sure I tried to find it. Nowadays, it's real easy, I think. Yeah. It's automatically on the internet, but this was back in maybe 2005. And
I got to say.
Not the case.
Pretty cool, dude.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, but now that's cool, actually.
Been detox for a night. Been to jail for a night.
I feel like I'm too old now to go to jail in any way that works out for me.
No.
Like even for just like a party night.
Yeah.
Unless it's like an entire bachelor party gets arrested. And like all 30 people are in the cell together. Wow, I've imagined quite a big bachelor party.
I'm right there with you. Yeah, exactly. You got a lot of friends.
I don't. That's a weird thing. It's not my wedding.
Oh, okay.
Somebody else's.
Yeah, somebody else's.
I've just tagged along.
Yeah, because I don't think anybody's busting your pluckers run.
Man. Oh, the pluckers. I hate a pluckers. Pluckers, guys, if you don't live in Austin, is a wing restaurant in town and sports bar that
sounds so crass.
I know it's crass, but they it's one of those. It's like a Buffalo Wild Wings, but for some reason, I have more fond memories of it.
Oh yeah, because the wing. I mean, the wings are actually good. I guess is a weird stance to take. Like I'm pro Pluckers, but it's food I enjoy, and it's there's TVs everywhere.
Yeah, there's a TV every.
How does that miss
5 inches? And also, they do this thing now where last time I went Pluckers, because occasionally I don't want to say, fuck it, need 90 wings. They check your food for you. And like what they do is they'll be like, hey, let's take a look at you. Like you're getting it, you're picking up to go, right?
Yeah.
And so they put the styrofoam food containers and then they open them up and make you look at all your food. I don't know why I hate that.
Man, you and I are learning a lot about each other. I love that. Because as someone who has had to go back because of a wrong order, I appreciate the care that they're taking.
Well, shouldn't they just look at that shit before they give it to you?
Yeah, that's also true.
I'm in the same boat. I've done that where they looked at the food and I'm like, oh, you're missing that thing. And they went and got it.
Yeah.
And I wasn't like, good thing. I was like, fucking idiots.
It's grandstanding. It's they're Johnny Cochran in it. Yeah. They're just like, hey, look, we already did this in the back, but for your benefit, you fucking surf. We're going to show you your wings.
Well, let's welcome our new sponsor on board today. Yeah, Pluckers. Oh, no.
It's for you, you fucking surfs. Surf music. I don't know. I went two different ways with surf.
Oh, look at you. You're quite the little wordsmith. Get out. God, so many puns these days. So many puns. I still have not seen that show At Midnight.
No, neither I.
But everyone, like, you know, if you're online at a certain time on Twitter, people just tweeting puns like crazy.
Yeah.
And you're like, this show's good, is it?
Yeah, how's your At Midnight
story? I don't get it. I've never done it. My roommates watch it like crazy. They've tried to explain it to me. I'm not very good at the social media. I actually just set goals. Got to get to 700 by June 1st.
What if that doesn't happen? Are you quitting comedy?
I'm at 678, so I hope I can do that.
Wait, but, followers or tweets?
Followers. Okay. Yeah, I don't have very much.
That tweets goal's really easy.
I have about like 800 tweets, so not over like 4 years. So that's okay. So if that tells you how active I am. But
well, let's give you the mascot wedding bump. What's your what's your handle?
At Cody Hustek, my name.
All right.
All right.
How to spell that?
If you're listening right now, go to that on Twitter. See if he's got over 800. And if he does, you're welcome, Cody.
Yeah, exactly. That's our gift to you.
Why? How many followers do you this mask company? It's not a board, Cody.
Yeah.
Two. Just ask, man, Brian Gar. If that guy retweets you, your phone's going
to
blow up.
Yeah, you're made.
Yeah.
Oh, you mean that? Yeah, he doesn't do that to me.
Yeah. Oh. Number 4 on iTunes, Brian Gar. Good for him.
Oh, you moved up.
Yeah.
Number 2. Anyway, whatever.
Wow.
Nobody. Very topical.
Yeah,
no one knows what the fuck we're talking about. Brian Gardner, the comedian, dropped an album today, and it was doing well on iTunes. Mm. Anyway, there's your fucking context. You goddamn monster. So you lived in Nebraska, where you were a criminal, and then you decided to move to Austin with Ryan and Stefan. How many years ago was that? You already said earlier, but I forgot.
It was like January, like 4th. Like, I remember the day. It was like January 4th, 2010, like a couple days after New Year's. So, yeah, we've been here a little over 4 years.
Why Austin and not somewhere else?
Yeah, like Chicago.
Yeah.
I had looked at Chicago. Like, it was amazing. I was pretty set on it for a long time, but it's just the price of living there is. And I was so sick of having a shovel in my car, digging yourself out everywhere you went. It's so, the winter's so depressing. I don't even want to go outside.
Yeah.
So you moved to Austin for comedy reasons.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. Just wanted to get out of Nebraska because there was pretty much one or two open mics at the time. And I guess it was between Minneapolis, Chicago, and Austin. And I was hitting up the most popular MySpace comedians in each town asking their advice. And,
Who was the most popular Austin MySpace comedian?
Brendan Walsh had the most followers. So I sent him a message. And he sent like a real nice, long, detailed message about how great the scene was and the open mics and
that's
get
cool.
work on the weekends sometimes. And so I was sold. I respected the dude enough. So.
Did he also outline his plans for turning his back on the city?
Stings. <No. laughs>
Why Minneapolis? That's the first time I've heard anyone mention Minneapolis in a short list.
A couple of Omaha comedians had moved there. And Minneapolis is an all right scene. It's I would have regretted it, I think, moving there. But
isn't that where Indy Richie went for a while?
I think he was there for a while, yeah.
That sounds familiar,
I think that's also where a couple of bookers live. So there must be something.
Yeah, Stand Up Records is out of there.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Acme Comedy Club's a great comedy club.
So if you moved to Austin for comedy reasons, do you now have, I mean, do you have like a goal in mind to get out of here at a certain point?
I thought I did. I honestly didn't think I would be here this long, but.
The Velvet Rut, we trapped you.
I don't know. It's like. I guess I kind of fell into what everyone said as far as it's super comfortable. Drinks are very cheap. Yeah. open mics are pretty plentiful, even though I don't visit a lot of them. Like, I don't know. I don't know what the big difference would be if I went to New York. I guess I have a few thousand dollars worth of student debt. Like, if I can pay off my debt, then yeah. I just don't want to move to New York and have to come right back like so many do.
Yeah. It's funny, like if you move to New York or LA, and let's say you go there and you're just awful and you don't even do comedy, you just end up selling drugs to AIDS. You sell drugs to literally the AIDS virus.
Yeah. Gotta keep it strong.
Yeah. And it, but if you come back, people are like, you went to New York or LA. Wow.
Yeah, they think you're cool, but
you got
I
heat.
Don't know.
You got heat. Yeah. You know, I love this scene. Obviously, I like a lot of people here, but when someone, you know, leaves, it's always like, oh, good for them. Mm-hmm. Like, it's never like, oh, boo. Oh, yeah. Like, I hate you for leaving. Like, man, it's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're doing something that we've all been wanting to do, but haven't yet. So yeah.
Moving sucks.
I have a very parent question for you. Like, what are your goals with comedy? Like, what do you hope to like accomplish by keeping this going?
Get bent, Dad.
I just really to not have to work. If I don't have to work a shitty day job, then my current day job's nice, but or nice enough. But yeah, if I don't have to do that, if I can just make money doing what I want to do, then yeah, for sure.
Okay. Yeah.
That's it. Like, I don't know. I don't feel like I'm a greedy motherfucker. Like, yeah. If I can just make enough to get by, I'm pretty happy.
Because I always feel that's where the hiccup is. Is like, I want to be on Letterman and I want to, you know, get my own pilot or whatever. And then it's just like, well, you could do that, but then you're gonna be miserable chasing that. But if you're just like, I just want to pay my bills and not have to sit behind a desk and tell jokes for a living, that like that's fine. That's awesome. Good.
Like,
for
I guess
you.
I set the bar low to like, I guess financially, like. Like if I can make enough to pay my bills, like I'm cool with it. But I don't walk into a show like this past weekend, like walking onto a show where it's a bunch of people who have TV credits. I don't walk into it thinking if I'm just up to their level or if I hold my own, I'm pretty good. Like I expect to blow everyone out of the water. Like I think every comic should.
When I first started getting booked on shows in Austin, I feel like there was a cooler clique of comedians that I was not a part of. And so I wasn't really that well known. And I would enjoy going onto shows and people being like, oh, who's this ogre? And then I would do well. And I like that feeling. But now here in Austin, instead of like no expectations, now it's like, well, is this guy they've seen way too much? Like,
yeah, I can see that.
So it's fun doing like festivals or a lot of like out of town gigs because you know no one expects anything from you.
You really wow them.
Yeah, I can remember, or at least not be terrible.
I can remember when you were first kind of breaking in from the sketch and improv world to the stand up part of Austin comedy. Like I can remember the show. It was Chris Tellez had a show in Dallas that we were on. And he was asking, the host was asking what credits we had. And I think I had like South By and Fun. And you're like, man, I wish I had those credits. And now, look, fucking, God damn it, a whole year later.
Well, you know, but it's funny that because I started stand up at the same time I started sketch and improv. It's funny that sort of like air would be out there. Mm. Air? God, I'm so dumb. Impression, right?
And it's well deserved. You're very very funny.
More.
This is why we do the podcast. Yeah.
Both of you are.
Oh my God,
big fans. It's a real honor.
When you paint David with the same brush, it's like
yeah,
it's
yeah you've diminished the brush. All you can say.
Yeah, I don't want it. It's super competitive.
I didn't win shit.
I'll murder you. What?
I didn't win anything.
Smash your brains in.
But speaking of, I mean, we're in the middle of The Funniest Person in Austin as we record this. You haven't done your prelim set yet. But I don't know. I don't want you to disparage the contest, but I mean, what are your thoughts on FPIA? Like,
I think it's great. It serves its purpose. It gets a lot of the Austin talent in front of the right people for the few times a year that happens. Yeah. It's a good opportunity for people. I don't think anyone should take it too seriously because it's a contest, and I don't know. Ideally, that's not how you judge yourself.
But you don't drive yourself crazy trying to.
No, get ready to I don't know. I guess I think that was when I moved here. It seemed like that was a thing where people were practicing their FPIA set for months before it even started. I don't know that that's so much a thing anymore. Like people don't drive themselves so crazy about it.
I feel like when you get to a certain point, you kind of realize it is what it is. And then, yeah, it's not like something you like, oh, I'm building a set for this. Like the way people are like, oh, I'm working on a good six for like a TV show or something like that. You know, like, sure, maybe you're working on a tight showcase set or something, whatever. But it's not like I don't think most people are like, oh, this is going to be a perfect contest set.
Yeah.
But I will say that, so last year you finished third. And this year, now if, let's say you finish you finish under third, whatever that is.
I hope not.
Okay, well, that's what I was going to ask you. Will you feel like you have like let yourself down?
Yeah, I've done it four times and I've been in the finals four times. and finally I placed last year. So Chris Gibas was second. Like, he's gone. He's out of the picture, luckily. Good riddance. I go into it. I don't know. Like, I feel like anyone should, like, anyone who's entering the contest should have, should be doing so wanting to win it.
Yeah. It's funny. Last year, and I don't want to make this about me, but, like, I really honestly, I was like, well, they just give it to Cubis right now.
Yeah, no, just in years past, like, you kind of pick it.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, you can
like
tell
everyone,
that night.
Everyone did kind of expect Cubis to win it, but you're easily just as
well the,
deserving.
The previous year, like, I felt like Ramin Nazer won and Chris Cubis got second. And I felt like the rest of us were just like, it was like a Jean-Claude Van Damme movie. And like one of them was Jean-Claude and the other was the bad guy. And we're just the fighters who were also in the tournament. Like, I'm the guy who fights like a monkey who, you know, like he may, you may see him fight a couple times, but Jean-Claude's going to murder him.
Yeah.
Why am I calling him Jean-Claude and not Van Damme? I don't know. Because we're friends?
Yeah, because you're very familiar with him.
That's right.
But let's get gross for a second. Like, who's your competition? Who do you need to, take out in FTIAs?
But you're right, though. Going to the Funniest Person in Austin contest this year, I saw some people that I was not familiar with. I mean, I have a show, granted, like, you know, it doesn't pay. I'm not going to, I can't give you work from it or whatever. But I saw some people that, like, I had not seen before and would like to put on a show.
Oh, yeah. It's fantastic for, there's new comics coming into the scene all the time. And you don't, you can't see all of them, especially if you're not frequenting open mics. And
yeah. Or even the terrible open mics.
Yeah. So, I don't know. It gives those people a chance to shine.
Plus, it gives, it's like a credit in which didn't previously exist. Because, like, let's say, there's a city in America called, I don't know, name some place.
Lincoln.
So like right now, like Lincoln, right? But if they had a funniest comic in Lincoln contest, like that person, you know, you just created a credit out of thin air, and that person has that credit now. So, I mean, and it's something where people can easily like digest it.
Yeah, and FPIA has some cachet now. Or, I mean, it's gotten big. It's gotten, you know.
Well, it has some cachet, but also like, it doesn't necessarily mean anything. Like,
yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, like,
credits are nice. It kind of, I don't know. From what I've found, that credits give you respect amongst comedians, and that's about it.
Yeah, like, I didn't get, like, famous from it or, you know.
But a lot of comics hold you in higher regard for it, I'm sure. Yeah, and it's not going to get you. Guarantee you a TV credit or anything.
Fuck off, Chris Tellis. How dare you? No, I don't know why. He's my buddy.
Yeah.
He's my bro-ham.
Don't.
You don't know. Why? What? He's my brosif.
I thought we were talking about, okay, brosif's better.
He's my broctionary.
What? So you reference him?
I look up words on him.
Oof.
That's right.
Going back to, I think...
you're still here?
Oh, yeah.
I like that the guest Cody is Houston steering still.
I think for the year or two before I even moved to Austin, I think FPIA was kind of a huge launching pad to people getting on TV. Like, there was one year where, like, five or six Austin guys got on TV, basically, because of FPIA. And
I look at that wall now.
That kind of stopped abruptly.
No, I look at that wall now, and there's definitely one person who has not been on TV, and I'm like, ah, thank God for you. Like,
is his name Mac Blake?
Well, no, there's two people now. But as long as that other person, I'm like, well, I'm me and that other guy.
Yeah.
But you look like fucking Lucas and Ramsey and Krug and Gutman and everyone else.
But the real shame about it is like, you know, just being an outside observer to it, not having competed in it, like, the quality has gotten better in the sense
easily.
That, like, the bottom isn't as low as it used to be. Like, I used to get real joy from coming to the prelims and seeing people turf out.
Yeah, honestly, I miss that, too. I miss, like, the, I'm a funny kindergarten teacher and just gets up there and is like, today, class, we're going to learn about shapes and then, like, making some shape joke.
Yeah, but then the funny kindergarten teachers now are, like, funny kindergarten teachers. Like, you know, they're good. Shit.
And truly, I don't know. Like I mentioned how I don't really like watching like stand up that much. Like it makes me neurotic. But like I do love watching train wreck type shit.
Yeah.
And like even movie wise, like The Room or like anything that's maybe not meant to be good but is good.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's got a soft spot in my heart.
Like an Old Dogs type movie.
Yeah.
Stop pushing Old Dogs. Have you seen Old Dogs?
No, I don't know what it is. I just agreed.
You should see Old Dogs.
Sounds good.
Yeah, it's great.
Who's in that thing? John Travolta.
John Travolta and Robin Williams. It was originally supposed to be an R-rated Judd Apatow type comedy. They cut it down to a 90-minute PG movie that's family friendly, and it's a mess. I always recommend it.
It makes no goddamn sense.
No, it doesn't. There's like 70 set pieces in this movie.
It is painfully. You have more of a stomach for that than I do. It's so bad. God, it's so fucking awful. I like to watching those things isn't as fun. Remembering them is more fun though.
Sure.
So if I can get past the initial trauma, it's like, oh, remember that time? And I'm like, yeah, old dogs.
I mean, that's all it is. Like, I mean, shit, we have fond memories of Ginger Dead Man, you know, that kind of thing. I don't like the movie, but I remember watching it with my friends.
Yeah. Ginger Dead Man, guys, Passion of the Crest. Yes. Wait, no, sorry, that was Ginger Dead Man 2.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And now there's Ginger Dead Man versus Evil Bong.
Yeah. Ugh, I hope Evil Bong wins that one. He's due.
Well, he's voiced by Tommy Chong, you would think so.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Tommy Chong doesn't seem to have like an evil voice.
I don't think he's supposed to.
You know, it's like, hey, man, I'm murdering you. Like, that doesn't scare anybody. Oh, he's not supposed to have an evil voice.
I don't think so.
Oh, now I kind of want to see Evil Bong.
See?
Yeah, look what worked. I did there. It worked. Yeah. I'm a cat. I was thinking about you and Ryan County, Cody. And that's a great sentence. And you both are like a little on the weirder side of, you know, the certain current crop of comedian. Well, I guess what I mean by that is like you have people that are like, hey, I'm telling a joke. Here's a punchline. Hey, and you guys don't. You're not like that.
You have a style all your own.
Yeah. There you go. You're both very like a style that you don't normally see or whatever like that. And you both are killer. And the thing that surprised me, I was like, wow, these two guys sort of like have a more of an alt comedy feel coming from Nebraska. And I'm like, Nebraska, how did that happen in Nebraska? Which is weird because you hear all this time about like it's just New York or LA and then Chicago. And then in the middle, there's nothing, right? Because it's just fly over states. Yeah. And I fucking hate that attitude. But then I had it because I was like, how'd you guys get funny in Nebraska? It's like, oh, they have TV and the internet in Nebraska, you fucking asshole. But yeah, the fact that it was like you both hit the Austin at the same time. And honestly, I didn't pick up on Stefan at the same time I picked up on you guys.
And yeah, and he was he was very unique too. But yeah, I think, I don't know, there was some bullying and...
Mm-hmm. Bullying from other Austin comics?
Like we'd go down to San Marcos and there'd be a few shitheads down there that mm-hmm. would give him a hard time. And I don't know. I think people latched onto me real quick, and then Ryan had a little bit tougher time, and Stefan had a real tough time. And then people start coming around to Ryan after a couple of months, mm-hmm. and they were maybe more on board with him than me for a while. But yeah, I think that no one just really accepted Stefan, unfortunately.
Was there a desire to change your approach once you came to Austin, or were you just like, no, this works for me, I'm just going to stick with it?
You don't, the word I was looking for is you're not like derivative. You don't feel like a shade there off of like what you normally see.
Yeah, I guess, I don't know.
Outside the average.
Like, I got no desire, like doing the one-liner style for the most part. Like, I try to get away from that a little bit just so I don't get pigeonholed into that one style. But I don't want to be compared to Mitch Hedberg. I don't want to be compared to anyone. I'd rather be called unfunny than unoriginal, truly.
But you know, sometimes, because your jokes, for the most part, tend to be not necessarily one-liners, but pretty short.
Yeah, oh yeah. All of them are. Yeah, I'll mix it up and do something that's longer than truly a one-liner. But yeah, it's all short, yeah. And that comes from just basically... my whole life, I haven't been able to tell a story and keep anyone's attention. So,
well, that's kind of what I'm getting at is like, because, you know, we have this for so long.
I have.
It's like, I'd love to, like, sort of as an audience member who likes what you do, I almost like, I'm like, man, I want him to crack that Cody coconut. I'm killing it today. And like, see you tell like a longer story. Cause I bet, yeah. I mean, you said you don't, but I bet you'd be awesome.
I'm capable of it, but, I don't know, maybe not so much off the cuff, but if I memorize it and shit and I work on it, yeah. Mm-hmm. Like I guess like the longest piece I've ever done is like I'll do an Aristocrats every once in a long time, and that's maybe 5 minutes or so, but that's about as long as I get.
But I mean, I'm not asking you to like force it, obviously.
I'm telling you, I can't force it. There's nothing, I can't do it.
Well, Cody, as your agent, I booked you on 5 moth shows in a row, so fucking learn how to tell an NPR-style story about you growing as a person and learn it pretty quick, because those people are wolves. They smell blood on you. Wolves can smell blood, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I believe so, yeah.
That's what makes them wolves.
Yeah. You get a wolf nose is what right. I say when I can smell if a girl's on her period.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Common expression.
Yeah. It's like, whoa, you're attracting wolves this for the next several days.
You would just say that?
Yeah.
Whoa, hey, you're attracting wolves.
Whoa. Put that away.
My Italian wife demands that I talk to her in that voice.
Oh
hey, get over here. I'm Amarone. I said Amarone the other day and meant it. I don't know what is happening with me, because that'll happen with me where I start saying things as like a joke.
Uh-huh.
Like I said jeepers because I thought jeeper was funny, and now I legitimately will say jeepers.
Yeah.
Like someone would be like, oh, yeah, I had a rough night. I'd be like, ah, jeepers. Mm-hmm. And you start saying Amarone just as a dumb thing, but now I'm like, ah, like, how was your day? Amarone, it was tough. And then people are like, what'd you say? I'm like, ah, please just don't make eye contact with me on your way out.
Yes.
And then we all win. We all win. So you've done like fun and South by and stuff like that. I mean, is it something where you're like, are you just like, man, I'm just trying to get better? Or have you set like goals for yourself? Like, I want to do this. Cause it's a weird, I don't like this question.
We just want you to go back to school. No, I guess we've been dancing around it.
No, cause I don't like that. Cause I don't like putting that kind of bullshit pressure on myself either.
Yeah.
Cause you can't control that. You just try to get better or whatever. Although now I want that TV credit. Thanks, Hustak. Well, Cody, Hustak, looks like we're coming up to the end of it. Do you have anything you're looking forward to coming up show-wise?
I'm going to be at Cold Town Theater this Friday.
That will be last Friday.
Last Friday.
How'd you do?
Pretty good. Pretty damn good. I hope you were there. Hope you caught the brilliance.
I was sick that day.
I noticed. I didn't see you in the audience. Cap City, is that going to be last Sunday?
Yeah, that'll be last Sunday. Yeah.
Last Sunday, my Cap City semifinal. I'm very confident.
I'll go out on a limb. Keep an eye on the semifinals.
Yeah, yeah, I don't know what date, but.
Well, I get a feeling you're going to go far, and thus I've jinxed you, so I'll also say you'll die in a fire tomorrow. So there you go. Jinx reversed. Now, saying jinx reversed, that protects it, right?
Yeah, that's my legal understanding of it.
Kaboom. Guys, if you want to follow Cody on Twitter, it is at Cody Hustak or at Cody _ Hustak.
No, at Cody Hustak. I need only 22 more followers to hit my goal by June 1st. So
let's do it, guys.
We can do this, guys.
Don't make me look like a fucking idiot.
Yeah.
Follow him. And do you have a website or any place?
CodyHustak.com, of course.
Look at that. He's a pro. He's a pro. Well, Cody, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. And take it easy. David. How do we leave the show today?
I'm going to say you and I
yes.
are on safari.
Okay.
And we get into some doings with some animals.
Okay. It's a pretty good safari so far.
Yeah, it's kind of quiet, though. I mean, I just haven't really seen a lot of stuff.
Yeah, I'd say pretty boring as far as...
Shut up.
What? What's up?
You hear that? Okay. There's like a rustling. It's getting louder. It's coming. It's coming closer. Mac, get the Jeep. Get the Jeep, Mac.
What? I don't want you.
Start it up.
Ah, that rhino got me. I've been gored. No. I've been gored, David. David, I'm fucking gored.
This is such a turn on. God damn it.
Wait, are you gored on the other side of me?
Yeah. Yeah, I am. Oh, yeah. Oh, that's so good. Don't stop.
I'm dead.
The Tasty Podcast Network at tastypodcast.com.